May God bless our meditation on His Word for us this day as we celebrate the Reformation and God's gift to us of His eternal gospel. If you've ever been to a political rally or heard a political speech on television, you probably have also experienced that moment when you catch yourself wondering. As the crowds cheer and as they wave their signs in startling unison, you find yourself wondering, does this person speaking really believe what they are saying? Or are they just telling the people what they want to hear? Despite the hypocrisy of such a situation, when politicians' favorability ratings and vote totals directly translate into their success and livelihood, it is easy to see the temptation to merely tell people what they want to hear instead of telling them the truth that they need to know. The blame for such a setup doesn't solely fall on a politician either, as crowds cheer what they want to hear and boo that which they don't. Their behavior encourages politicians all the more to massage the truth and simply give the people the message they want instead of the truth that they need. Well, don't worry this morning. This sermon isn't going to be about the evils of politicians. It's not going to be about what they say or what they don't. It's not going to be about an election, past or present. Rather, this sermon is going to be about us, about what we want to hear, about what we need to hear, and about the critical difference between the two. In our epistle reading today from Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Galatia, and he writes to address a problem. And so he says this, "I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ." You see, many Christians in Galatia were quickly deserting the message of God's grace to them in Jesus in favor of a different message, in favor of a different gospel. The people were being led astray by what they wanted to hear instead of the truth that they needed to know. And I know, sitting here today, it's easy for us, isn't it? It's easy for us to shake our heads at the foolishness of those Christians in Galatia and say, how could they? But the truth is, we often struggle with the exact same thing today ourselves. The truth is, the ears of the people in Galatia and the ears of people in Zanesville are all influenced by our shared sinful human natures. And that means we seek after what we want to hear, even when it means sacrificing the truth for pleasant-sounding lies. We do this with God's message in His Word, too. As Lutheran Christians, we know that God's Word is made up of two parts, right? You guys know this, law and gospel. Law, the way that God calls us to live, and gospel, the good news of what Jesus has done for us. And each part is critical for the Christian. But our sinful nature doesn't want to have anything to do with either. Our sinful nature doesn't want to hear anything about God's law, because we don't want to hear that we are sinners. We don't want to hear that our very nature leads us to do wrong instead of right at every turn. We don't want to hear that our thoughts, our actions, and our words have all been soiled with sin. We don't want to hear that we daily fall short of the way that God calls us to live. We don't want to hear that we need forgiveness. And we don't want to hear that the problem we have with sin comes from within ourselves. Martin Luther once wrote about just this, and he said this: "The root of the trouble lies within man. The worst enemies we have are lodged in our own heart and in our very flesh and blood. They wake, sleep, and live with us as an evil guest whom we have invited into our house and now cannot get rid of." Because we can't, when our sinful nature hears the truth of God's law, we don't like it. In fact, when exposed to God's law, our sinful nature hisses and boos. It boos louder than any political rally crowd gone mad. And so when the world around us presents a different gospel, one that says sin is nothing to worry about, our sinful nature soaks it all up. Our sinful nature loves hearing messages like, "If it feels good, do it," or "As long as it makes you happy, go for it," or "As long as it doesn't hurt anyone else, you can do whatever you want to do." All of those are different gospels that we hear in our world today, but none of them are actually good news. Paul encountered this same type of thinking when he wrote to the church in Rome in Romans 6. He said, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound?" And then Paul answers his rhetorical question emphatically, in case his hearers didn't catch the rhetoric built in. Paul says, "By no means." Our sinful nature will always seek to lead us away from the message of truth that we have in God's word. But should we follow that urge? By no means. I wish that these were the only false gospels that we have to combat with in our world, but they're not. Believe it or not, just like our sinful nature doesn't want to hear anything about God's law, our sinful nature also doesn't want to hear anything about God's gospel. The gospel tells us that Christ has accomplished our salvation entirely for us at the cross. The truth for the Christian, then, is there is nothing that he or she can do or has done or could do to accomplish their own salvation. Rather, it is solely and completely a gracious gift from God. But what does that mean? That means that the Christian is entirely dependent on someone else. And in our pride and in our stubborn American independence, we have a hard time with that one too. "Give me something to do," we say. "I want to be able to do something and know that I have won or earned or deserve my salvation so that I can trust in myself instead of having to rely on or trust in the promise of Christ. After all, if I want something done right, I want to do it myself." The message of God's word reminds us that we can't find any true assurance, confidence, or peace with God in what we have done. And that means our independent American selves are left totally dependent on Jesus to give us salvation and eternal life. And the truth is, our sinful nature hates that. It hates to be dependent on someone else. It hates to be told to simply trust in God's mercy and grace. So we are once again tempted to go in search of a different gospel. And when we do, we easily find even more of those false gospels in our world. These so-called gospels add on to the requirements of salvation, and the end result is a gospel of good works that teaches you you can earn yourself salvation through your own good works, or through your participating with God in the process, or even simply through an act of acceptance on your part. Paul encountered this thinking with the church in Galatia as people there were heaping additional requirements onto early Christians. You have to do this, you have to do that to truly earn God's favor. Yes, Jesus, but also circumcision. Yes, Jesus, but also keeping the ceremonial law. We kind of hear this perverted gospel message in our day as well, and our prideful and sinful human natures actually like the sound of it too. Because we like to think that at the end of the day, we'll be okay because we're good people. We like to think that at the end of the day, we'll be okay because we've been a member of our church for so many years or even decades. We like to think that at the end of the day, we'll be okay because we've done more good than bad. But none of that holds any weight with God. And the truth is, we're sinners through and through. Our thoughts and words and actions are soiled by sin. God is holy and just, and you and I, we aren't. And there's nothing that we can do to change that on our own. That's why we need the gospel. Not a fake or flimsy or phony gospel, but we need to hear the real deal. We need to hear that Jesus has done it all for me. Believers in the triune God have had to deal with these fake gospels since the beginning of mankind. If you think about it, the devil knew that Adam and Eve didn't want to hear God's law that told them that they couldn't eat from one specific tree in the garden where they lived. The devil knew that they would be attracted to hearing a different message entirely. And so Satan gave them one. He told them that if they only ate from the one tree that God had told them not to eat from, that they wouldn't die, as God had said, but rather that their eyes would be open and that they would be like God. And Adam and Eve liked the sound of that message, so they ignored God's law in favor of the devil's lies. In the 1500s, Satan attacked the Christian church from the other direction. Instead of tricking Christians by distorting the law, he did so by distorting the gospel. The Catholic Church had begun teaching that you could participate with God in your salvation, that you could even purchase your own forgiveness, or that you could reduce the time your loved ones spent in a place they called purgatory by your prayers or by your donations. And what did these lies distort? The gospel. Because no longer was a church saying that Jesus had done it all, but rather that Jesus had got you to the base of a ladder, but that now you had better get climbing if you wanted to save yourself or those you love. That's the reason that Martin Luther and other reformers like him stepped up and stood firm for the truth of God's word, sharing what people in power didn't want to hear because they knew that it was exactly what all of us needed to hear. The devil always tempts God's people to listen to something else instead of his word. He tempts us to disregard God's law. He tempts us to add to God's gospel. But when we do both, we are led away from the truth that we really need to hear. And when we do both, we find ourselves trapped. Because the devil wants you and I to stay trapped, he continues to throw other false gospels at us. Those that lead us away from hearing the truth about our sin, and those that lead us away from hearing the truth about God's grace. So what do trapped people need to hear? They need to hear the truth of God's word. But don't take my word for it. Hear what Jesus said in our gospel reading this day. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It shouldn't surprise us when politicians simply tell people what they want to hear. It shouldn't surprise us when we ignore what we don't want to hear and simply seek out what we do. And yet our gracious God loves us too much to let us stay trapped in a bunch of lies. Instead, he tells us the truth that we desperately need. He spoke that good news in the presence of Adam and Eve. He spoke that good news through the time of the Reformation. And he speaks that good news even today, right here in church. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, if you hear nothing else this morning, hear this God-given truth anew and for you. That though you and I are sinners through and through, Jesus has lived and died and risen again for you. His death on the cross has paid the price of your sin in full. You are saved by grace and through faith in Christ, Jesus your Savior. And there is nothing that you can do to earn this salvation, but it is God's free gift to you, delivered in your baptism and received through the faith that the Holy Spirit has worked in your heart. And though the devil would like to keep you forever bound and trapped in his many lies, the message of God's gospel means that you are forgiven and free. Hear that promise. Believe that promise. And thank God that that promise is true and for you. In Jesus' name and for his sake we pray. Amen.